Welcome back to Basketball History 101, part of the Sports History Network. I am your host, Rick Loaiza, and this is a podcast where we bring to life some of the forgotten stories from basketball history. We are bringing old school basketball to a new school audience, and today we bring you a special interview with former NBA player Dean Tolson. When I first found out about Tolson's story, I just knew that I had to share it with you. He got to live the dream of putting on an NBA uniform and playing against the best players in the entire world. An incredibly few number of players ever get to play in the NBA, and Dean Tolson is one of them. He played for the Seattle Supersonics from 1974 until 1978, with a couple of breaks in the middle of that. But his story goes much deeper than that. He made it all the way to the NBA while being illiterate. He was passed through his classes in high school and at the University of Arkansas because of his rare basketball talent. It was not until the end of his basketball career and at the urging of his mother that he returned to the University of Arkansas to get his bachelor's degree for real. And he went back later to earn his master's degree, magna cum laude. He tells his story in his book entitled Power Forward, My Journey from Illiterate NBA Player to a Magna Cum Laude Master's Degree. So, without further ado, here is my interview with Dean Tolson.
This is Basketball History 101 with Rick Loaiza.
Hey, good morning, Dean. Thanks for coming on. I know I wanted to get into your book here, which I read, and it was an extremely powerful story. I really enjoyed it and was inspired by it.
It makes me happy, Rick.
Oh, well, yeah. So the book, by the way, is titled Power Forward, My Journey from Illiterate NBA Player to a Magna Cum Laude Master's Degree. And I know in the story, you came up and you talk about how as a young kid, you didn't care for school very much. You know, for you, it was mostly hang out and play time with your friends. And you get all the way through high school, through the University of Arkansas, and into the NBA without being able to read or write at a functional level. And I know, in looking back at that, it was there any point before you go back the second time that you thought, man, I missed something here. Man, I wish I knew how to read or write. I wish I could read this contract.
It never dawned on me, Rick, that I couldn't read or write. I was doing what I loved to do and did what I enjoyed doing in life, and every kid's dream in America would like to have done what I did. You agree?
Oh, I agree. I mean, I never had the talent to go beyond high school, and I was a football player. But yeah, that's a being in the pros is a dream for all of us.
But you had an education.
I do have an education.
And that's the difference between you and I, Rick. See, if you don't have an education, then you tell me what you think one would know about having an education. They know nothing. That's why they don't have one.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense. So I wanted to go into the way you feel about some of the coaches that you coached that allowed you to get through, bringing you in because of your basketball talent.
They
just kept passing you on because obviously you were a highly skilled player and never really saying, hey, by the way, maybe you want to read a book while you're here.
Maybe, right?
Yeah.
My mother started that trend in the fifth grade. I flunked the fifth grade twice. Basketball, you know, never became prevalent. And so they was going to flunk me a third time. My mother came up to the school and said, no. You're going to make him look like a clown. He's the biggest kid in this class. Even though he's not passing, I want you to pass him on. So I passed on to the sixth grade, and that's when it really hit home that I'm in trouble. But I didn't care. I didn't know enough to care.
Right. Your friends are moving on.
Yeah. And my mom had an eighth grade education, so she didn't know a lot about it either. And my dad had a third grade education. So my family and mother and father were working people who never became educated. And so quite naturally, we didn't study at night and we didn't bring our books home from school. We cut class and skipped class. And, you know, we did all those negative things that I should not have been doing. But I didn't know any better. As long as we was inside the schoolhouse, that's all our mother cared about, is you weren't running up and down the street with the gangs and the hoodlums. You better be in that schoolhouse if she finds out. You're going to get it if you ain't in that schoolhouse. And all day from 8 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, and then go to basketball practice.
And so you get on through high school. You obviously, as we mentioned, you're extremely talented, and that gets you to the University of Arkansas, where prior to you attending Arkansas, they had never had a player move on to the NBA before. You're the first one.
That's correct. And I was putting up NBA draft numbers. I averaged 23 points a game and like 14.7 rebounds a game, almost 15 rebounds a game my senior year. And so those are big numbers.
Yeah, those are huge numbers. And then that got you to put you on the radar of the Seattle Supersonics. I believe it was the assistant coach who had known from, I want to say,
the university with Slick Watts.
Yeah, and they brought you in. There was a fifth round you were drafted.
Yeah, I should have went higher than that with the numbers. It was 10 players drafted. Out of all 10 players, I had the highest numbers out of all 10 players, including the first round pick that won the national championship with North Carolina, David Thompson. That's Tom Burleson, 7'4". Him and David Thompson won it that year, my senior year.
Yeah.
Bill didn't win it. They beat Bill Walton.
Right, yes. That was the one to his team, Bo Walton's, I think, senior year.
And so my numbers was better than Tom Burleson's.
So you get there and you get to camp as a rookie. You're coming into the next level. And the great Bill Russell is the man who brought you in, was the coach at the time. And so for you, what was the difference between moving from Arkansas, you're playing the Division I level, and you're going to the NBA? What was that adjustment like for you?
It made me a better player because I thrived on the best competition. That's how I grew up. The guys that claim that they're better than me, I wanted to play against them. If I had to check Michael Jordan, it's like, where is he? Where is he? I'm looking for him.
Yeah. No,
that's... And I think that throughout my career with Robert Parrish, with Bill Walton, with Larry Keenan, any of them, they wasn't stopping me. That's why I still hold the records at Arkansas to this day. Nobody's broke my records. They've been there for 52 years.
Yeah, and they've had a number of other players come through, like Cindy Moncrief, Corliss Williamson, or probably two of the other big names that came out of Arkansas. And
Bobby Portis in Milwaukee right now.
Yeah, but you still have those records.
Yeah, they won't. Nobody will break them. I used to get 30 rebounds some nights, okay?
Yeah. Oh, I hear you. I hear you.
Don't average 20 rebounds and don't get 30 some nights. Sometimes you're going to be 15 and 17 and 20. You know, it's just difficult to put up those kind of numbers and not foul out.
Yeah. With your time with the Sonics, there's a point there where you played your rookie season with the Sonics, and then they cut you and you end up in Alaska with the Anchorage Northern Knights. So you're there in Alaska. Now we know later you came back for two more seasons with the Sonics, but what were you going through when you're in Alaska? Because now your dream of the NBA is put on the shelf for a little bit.
When I was in Alaska, it was a geographical shock. Yeah. And I never been to Alaska. And so when I got up there, man, I was frozen. And so I'm not used to my body being that cold and getting ready to play a game. But miraculously, we was 27-4 up there and won the championship.
Nice.
And I averaged about 27 a game. And then from there, I decided, okay, the Sonics, you know, I done been cut by the Sonics 4 or 5 times. And I got on an airplane and flew from Alaska to Manila, Philippines. And then went on to the Philippines where I averaged 45 points a game.
Wow. And that's when back then, I mean, there weren't probably a lot of Americans. I mean, I guess there were some Americans.
There were two NBA players on each team over there.
Okay.
And me and Larry McNeil was the NBA player on my team. Larry McNeil and myself went to Marquette He's still the leading scorer at Marquette. It's not Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Not Mo Rivers.
Right.
That's Larry McCann.
Now, and going back to the late 70s, early 80s, and I want to be fair, because the guys in the Philippines, I mean, they're professionals in their own right for that country. But was it a situation where they're just like, feed the Americans and let's give them the ball? And
No. It's understood that the Filipino players cannot outplay the Americans. That's why they bring us over there. So the battle was against the two Americans on each team. That was the battle who could win the game.
Yes.
So Larry and I was putting up so much points. Larry put up 50 points. I put up 40 points. Mm. We got 90 points. And so they changed the league over there and only went to one player on the floor at the same time because of me and Larry.
So now you guys had to take turns subbing in for each other.
Yeah, exactly. Because these other guys, you know, they're mud ducks. And they can't play. They score 10 and 12 and 15 points a game coming over there. And they end up sending them back home because they can't play.
Yeah.
And so the Boston Bullets came over there and played us too.
And you played them pretty close. I think in the book you mentioned it was only like a 6 or 8 point difference.
7 or 8 point. And Larry scored like 27 to 28. And I had like 25. And all I was looking for was somebody to give me another opportunity to get back into the NBA.
Right. And then you did come back and played a year, a little bit. You did come back and you played a little over like a season and then a few games after that.
Well, I never got complacent like I did in Seattle with no other NBA team. I went to the Rockets, I went to Atlanta, and I went to New York Knickerbockers with Willis Reed.
Yeah, so you're kind of hopping around, and I know at some point, you know, you're down in South America, you're over in Greece, because you just want to play somewhere.
I played all over the world. I just wanted to live out my love, man.
Yeah.
I wanted to live that love out in the NBA, but I was politic and blackballed out of that opportunity for no apparent reason.
At any point, do you ever get an explanation from anybody? No, because I know officially you're credited with 3 seasons of NBA basketball, and
the explanation for what you just mentioned is power forward.
Well, this is a good place to take a break, and we'll be right back with more on my conversation with Dean Tolson.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings you sports history to life anywhere. The Row One gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One shop, check out the thousands more of unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes.
Hello, sports history fans. I'm Ross from the podcast Pigskin Tales. You're about to jump into another thrilling sports history moment, but first, let's dive into today's sponsor, just in time for the holiday season. Introducing Art of Words, the brainchild of word artist Dan Duffy from Philadelphia. Dan meticulously crafts stunning images by handwriting relevant words from some of the greatest sports moments in time. These unique, budget-friendly illustrations are the perfect gift, sparking cherished memories and capturing hearts. Choose from city skylines, sports, history, and musicians to find a piece for everyone. And here's the exciting part. For that sports fanatic in your life, gift them a piece of their favorite team or player's history. Art of Words tells a compelling story. explore collegiate stadiums, each meticulously crafted with every football victory etched into words. Or venture into baseball stadiums, handwritten with every player from the team's illustrious history. My favorite on the site is Bryce Harper 2021 MVP year. Because I'm a big stats guy, I think that's one of the coolest things ever. Check it out. Don't wait. Order a print today for yourself and your loved one this holiday season. Transform your wall into a gallery of captivating art and surprise your family and friends with a print of their own. Use code SHN15 at artofwords.com for a 15% discount on your order in November and December. Visit Art of Words, where words magically transform into stunning art, evoking cherished memories and touching the hearts of those who you care about. Again, use the code SHN15 for 15% off at artofwords.com.
For the kids to grab and own it, that the NBA is not your ticket to success in life. Your NBA is in that classroom, man.
Yeah. No, I hear that for sure.
I won my NBA championship at the University of Arkansas classroom.
Yeah. No, I can appreciate that. You know, both of my parents are immigrants to this country, and they preach school from as long as I can remember. They didn't get that education, son.
So where are they from?
My mom is from Mexico. My dad is from Peru.
I played in Mexico 3 years.
It was in Aguascalientes. You played in Aguascalientes?
I've been all over the world. I mean, 12 years I did that. Yeah. Shot the globe, man. I was catching airplanes like taxi cabs.
I was going to say, it'd be interesting to see if you still have all of those jerseys. It'd be awesome to see that collection.
Well, there's some of them in my book, you know. I think Athens, Greece is in there. But, you know, when you publish a book, they don't allow you to put too many pictures in.
Right. So your mother is who encouraged you to go back to school. She's pleading with you, go back, get your education, and finish that degree at Arkansas. And then you go, you call up the athletic director, and they gave you a scholarship, another scholarship, to go back, and this time to really get your education.
Yeah, Walmart contributed probably around $300,000 for me to get my undergraduates and master's.
Wow, that's incredible.
Well, they did 4 years, and then they did four more years.
Yeah.
and I was a straight F student.
Yeah.
And see, I'm overcoming a deficit. I had a 124-hour transcript with 80 hours of F grade on 124 hours. That's what I started back with.
Yeah. So that was that you were kind of in a hole trying to get that grade point average.
Oh, yeah, they told me, they recommended that I didn't even try to attempt that. And I said, well, can I file academic bankruptcy? They said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You will take every single class you fail if you want to graduate from this university. And I did. I took every single class over again.
One of the things that sticks out to me about reading your book is that whether it was pursuing a career in professional basketball or whether it was pursuing your degree and then of course later your master's degree was kind of that single-minded focus. Once you set your goal, I mean, you go after it like a Doberman.
Yeah, I lock in because that's what kids have to understand. You have to transfer that same inspiration from the basketball court to the classroom, and from the classroom to the basketball court. You can't be an athlete and no student. You got to be the student athlete in school, or you're going to fall short somewhere.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, what you did to go back in your 30s to get your bachelor's degree, and then you returned in your 50s to get a master's degree.
Yes, 57.
Oh, my word. That is, I mean, you're kind of throwing off the age curve there, going in classes, you know, with young 20s and 30-year-olds working on that master's.
That's the magna cum laude.
Yeah, but you got magna cum laude. That's, oh, man, no, that is incredible.
Yeah, no professional athlete in American history has ever done it.
Yeah, I can't imagine. No, I can't imagine there's another athlete with a magna cum laude.
All professional athletes, baseball, football, basketball. basketball. Dean Tolson, power forward, is the only one to ever do it.
And you also say statistically, fewer than 1% of American adults have their master's degree. So you're part of that less than 1% that has taken your education that far.
That's right. And I'm encouraging kids to get higher education in life, because a high school and an undergraduate degree don't get you very far anymore. You're not in the 100,000, you're not in the six-digit bracket with an undergraduate. You know, so you got to get some type of career, if you will. They were, even though I didn't win or I failed at a number of them, they were careers, mm-hmm. just like the carpet cleaning business that you saw in Tacoma.
Yeah.
I'm the first white carpet cleaning company in the city of Tacoma. I ran that company for 20 years. You can call it a failure if you want. It lasted 20 years.
Oh, that's a success in almost any by any reasonable measure.
And this is what I'm saying to you about these kids understanding this transition from one career to the next, or one level of education to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And you excel at every level.
And now, after that, you get an opportunity to begin speaking regularly to kids about their education, and you've given hundreds of talks to thousands of kids.
40 years I've been doing it.
Yeah, and what's the response you get from the kids when they hear you talk?
Kids speak to me like a magnet. I just got that energy about me that they love.
Yeah.
And kids are resilient, and they want an adult to tell them what can help them become successful. They want you to do this.
Yeah.
That's what I found out. They want to take instructions from you so they can do better themselves. It's just a natural innate instinct for them to want to achieve.
Right. They want to be good at something.
Yeah, but the way society is going right now, they're making that out of a competition thing for them. And it shouldn't be that. It should be a fun thing. Like, I always hated learning because it always felt it was forced on me. And then when I did try to learn, I couldn't grasp the knowledge and have any success at doing it. So you give up and you quit. But once I became an adult and I learned that, then I started to achieve and then realize the reward and how learning could be pleasurable and rewarding at the same time.
That's an incredible message. And I'm thankful that you're out there doing it, because that's what that's the same thing I heard from my own parents, you know, about getting my degree so I don't have to struggle like they did make, you know, do something with your life.
Sense. Yeah. It makes sense. And these kids, they're too young to figure it out.
Right. Yeah, they need somebody.
That's why they got you and me. See, read the book, Power Forward. It explained this stuff to you. All of the learning systems I developed, did you see them? I developed those myself. Nobody taught them to me. And I'm going to teach it to kids, but I get so politic out of the opportunity because of the NBA, they lose sight of what I'm trying to really do here. And the whole United States needs to get behind me and get this done for these kids.
Yeah.
See, everybody, if you can sell 160 million of Harry Potter's book, you should be able to sell 200 million of this book to these kids for their future and the success of this country.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because I know that in some of the communities, like, for example, where you grew up in Kansas City, and to be honest, with kind of the area where I grew up in Southern California, there is this attitude sometimes that it's not cool to be good at school.
Right.
And I don't get it, but...
Yeah. Go to school.
Yeah, go to school. And so you've got this really powerful message, because I think something like, it's only like 1 in 100,000 high school basketball players end up in the NBA. I mean, if you can get all the way, it's such a tiny, tiny percentage that make it that far, but everybody can get their grades up.
That's right. Everybody can learn something. Right. You might not learn at the level that your peer learned at, but you only need a C to graduate.
Yeah. That's right.
Right. See, and so all I figured out was all I had to do was just go to class, turn in my assignment, take the test, get a C out of the class, and graduate. I wouldn't even do that.
Yeah.
Because I hated school. I hated school with a passion. Nobody hated school worse than Dean Tolson. In the whole world.
Yeah.
But he, and so I figured it out. Yeah. I could do it.
Yeah, and I wanted to kind of, I know we're coming up at the end of our time here, but I wanted to also ask you about your health. I know you suffered with some back injury. I think it's the L4, L5 disc, ACL in your knee. How are you feeling today?
I just had ablation surgery, afibrillation surgery about a month ago.
Okay.
And they sleep and they burned off an artery in my heart and got my ticker going back in rhythm. And then they installed a loop quarter in my chest to count the heartbeats per minute to make sure it don't jump back out of rhythm again, which could possibly cause a heart attack or a stroke. And that's where I'm at right now.
Okay. Well, I wanna thank you so much for your time, for your message to the kids, for you going back and getting a master's magnum cum laude. I mean, it really is such an incredible story, and I appreciate your time. And again, the book is called Power Forward, and we'll put a link in our episode description so where they can find that and get that, push the audience to you.
And have your listeners tune in go to my website, deantolson.com, and they can read about many of the things that we talk to and share them with their kids and their family and the community.
Thank you again, Dean, for your time and just for your incredible story. And good luck to you and continued health.
Keep following me. Thank you, Rick. You have a wonderful day as well.
I want to thank Dean Tolson for his time to share his story with us. He is such an incredible man. He has the energy and enthusiasm for life of a man half his age. Despite many of the hardships that he endured throughout his life, he still has an incredible love for people and for what life has to offer. And he has been able to touch the lives of thousands of students with his story and the value of an education. My best wishes to Dean Tolson and his continued work in sharing his story. In the show description below, there is a link to the Dean Tolson website and an Amazon link to purchase his book. Again, Power Forward, My Journey from Illiterate NBA Player to a Magna Cum Laude Master's Degree. I thoroughly enjoyed reading this book, and I know that you will too. So thank you for joining me on this special episode, and come back next week for our next story. That's next time on Basketball History 101, part of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com to find out more about this and other sports history podcasts. If you like what you hear, please hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. And check out our page on Facebook. It's called Basketball History 101 Podcast. There you will find shorter historical posts as well as comments and discussion starters on today's game. I'll also announce there when new episodes come out. I want to thank my producer and editor, Jacob Loaiza. Join us each week as we continue to mine the history of basketball for more great stories from the past. Take care and see you soon.